Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are going to study the theme, How to Interpret Scripture. Lesson 10, The Bible as History. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Exodus 20, verse 2. David, Solomon, and the Monarchy. In the days of King Saul, there happened something which appeared to be a big danger for Israel. The Philistines gathered an army, and this time they had something to suggest. They had one among them. Wow, a person, a giant, Goliath. The man was so tall, it didn't seem real. And this Goliath made a suggestion. This time, only two will fight against each other, the strongest of Israel and the strongest of the Philistines. And if the Philistines win, the Israelites will be slaves for the others, and the other way around, if the Israelites win. Now, who is the strongest here in Israel? Let's fight against each other. Who is the strongest? The tallest? That was the king. He was one head taller than all the others. But the king was not very interested in fighting against Goliath, because there were many more heads above his head when he looked at Goliath. And the next day, Goliath came again, and the next day, and the next day. This went on for a month and even longer. And it was in a bit of shame for Israel. What to do? And the king said, oh, the one who is such a hero to fight against this giant, he will never ever have to pay taxes in Israel. This is something, isn't it? And the next sweet, the princess, the daughter of the king, will be married to this hero. If he wins, of course. And this is the problem. He must win against Goliath. So when the king said, well, no taxes, and you can become my son-in-law, who wanted to fight? Nobody. Nobody at all. In this dangerous time, David showed up on the scene. He had been sent by his father with some food for his brethren. Three of them were in Saul's army. And then David hears Goliath for the first time. And what can he hear? Goliath says, your God isn't as strong as our gods. He one who fights against God. And when David listens to these words, ha! It comes up in him. There is some fire in him. He speaks against God. I must do something about it. No one in Israel's army trusted in God as David. Therefore, nobody dared to fight against Goliath. But David, he wanted to fight for God, and he won. It was the trust in God. He was the youngest of all these soldiers, the oldest brethren of David. The first three, they were there. He was the youngest in his family. But nobody else had such a relationship to God. And this was the key point in this situation. Trusting in God. Isaiah, Hezekiah, and Sennacherib. Israel is in the middle between Egypt and Assyria. Both are superpowers, and Israel is a tiny power. And the Assyrians, they came, and they won against everyone. They fight it. And they had already won against Israel, the northern territory, the northern kingdom, this dark yellow one here. And now Judah, this orange area, they wait for the army of the Assyrians. All cities with walls fortified had been already put to ashes. Jerusalem was the only city left, the only one. Now what to do? The Assyrian army gathered together around Jerusalem, and from the walls you could see their tents. Tents, well, wherever you looked, tents over. And then the Assyrians made a suggestion. The best for you there in Jerusalem, open the doors at once. Then we will take everything what can be moved, material, what's in the houses, and people, taking them as slaves, especially young ones, teenagers, youth, boys, girls, becoming slaves. If you do not open at once, then we will wait outside till you have no more food in there. You cannot come out, and nobody can come in. We are here. And because of this, there was no chance for Israel. So the best is just open the doors. Let them take what they would like to take. But then this army officer, the highest one of us, the Assyrian army, he said something else. No god of any kingdom could withstand our army. No god could protect his people. Do you think your God is mighty enough to protect you against the Assyrian army? Do you really think so? That your God is the only one who could do so? And the king, Hezekiah, got this information in written form too. First he heard it orally, and then he got it in written form, so that he can read it again and again and again. Open it once, or wait till you are dead. No God can protect you. It's impossible. We are too strong. And with this letter in hand, the king went to the temple, opened the letter, showed it to God, said, "Have you seen this? Have you heard this? The Assyrians think you are not strong enough. You are not able to protect us. They think so. Oh Lord, show how mighty you are." A king trusting God. And what happened? The next morning, when the Israelites, so the people from Judah, looked over their walls, what could they see? All the Assyrian army, the whole army, all the soldiers, dead on the ground. One angel had gone through their camp during the night, and then it was over. One angel. A trusting king who wanted to see that their God is a mighty God, mightier than all the other gods of all the neighboring kingdoms. And God showed how mighty he is. What a miracle. Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, and Babylon. We go on 100 years in history. Now the Babylonian army is in front of Jerusalem. The Assyrian army, 100 years before, had been destroyed by one angel. But now the situation was different. There was not a king Hiskia, not a king who trusted in God, but a king who trusted in Egypt that would help them as he hoped for. And in the Bible we read in the book of Daniel, and God gave the king of Judah into the hand of the Babylonian king. God. 100 years before, he did not give his Hiskia into the hand of the Assyrian king. But the Assyrian king was slain afterwards. Now, the situation is different. The Babylonians take the young people with them. One of them is Daniel and his three friends. And they are taken to Babylon. And this is a catastrophe. For 70 years, they will be in Babylonian captivity. So, this is something which is a shock. God has not helped us. We were just taken as captives, transferred to Babylonia, hundreds of miles away. And it looks as if the God of Judah is not as strong as the gods of Babylonia. And the Babylonians think so. Our gods, stronger than the God of Judah. Is it so? Not in reality. But for the moment, it looks like that. But God has a plan. Nebuchadnezzar is an intelligent person. genius. He is a superstar. He is the best on the side of paganism. And Daniel is the best on the side of God. And because Daniel is transferred to Babylon, these two come close together. They look in each other's eye. And God brings them together. That Nebuchadnezzar gets an information about the true God. And for three times, he makes an experience how this God is. First with the dream, when only Daniel could know what the king had dreamed of, and the only one who could interpret the dream. Then, when Daniel's friends were sent to be burned because they did not bow in front of Nebuchadnezzar's huge statue of gold, and they were preserved in the fire. And the next time when Nebuchadnezzar, as foretold in the dream, lost his mind, and after 7 years it came back again. It's a long time, 7 years, when a king has lost his mind. And at the last time, the king found the turnaround and made a confession. The God of the Jews is the real God. You shall trust in him. He's mightier than all the other gods. What a confession. We will meet Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. He has found the way to the real God in history. The historical Jesus. Let's have a look at this piece of art here, drawn by the Austrian artist Maximilian Janscher. He painted it for me. What a picture! The Sanhedrin, the council of the 70 most important people in Israel, they had at last succeeded to arrest Jesus. He was bound in fetters, and now he was in front of them. Now we have him. He is in our hands, and we will murder him because his popularity grows from day to day, and soon he will be the king in Israel. And the high priest was afraid of that, of course, because he is the number one, and then he will be thrown away. Now, Jesus in their hands. Now we must find an accusation, something which leads to this death of Jesus. So what should we have as an accusation? That blind people could see now because of him? That dumb people could hear? Those who could not speak could speak now? That lame people could jump around? Yet that even dead people came to life again. Can you accuse Jesus of doing that? And then kill him, therefore? Ridiculous. So you can only use a lie. But all these lies, it was so absurd. Jesus didn't even answer. Because all the lies were the opposite of that, what was in reality. And then the high priest, he exploded. And he stepped up towards Jesus. Now tell me. And he was angry, in a fury. Now tell me. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God? Now, Jesus answered. The Gospel writer Matthew, in the 26th chapter, he writes down, he wrote down what Jesus said. You have said, Jesus answered. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Now this was an answer. Jesus said, yes, I am the Messiah. I'm accused now. And you are the churches. But a time will come when I come in the clouds of heaven with all the angels. Then I will be the church and you will be the accused. Then everything will be turned around. So be careful what you are going to do now. Yeah, if you have some logic in you, then you can only say, oh! Yeah. Put away his fetters, bow down before him. You're the Son of God. You come from heaven. Oh, but the high priest, he was in such an anger. He rent his clothes, the clothes of a high priest, which was forbidden by God. Never ever was he allowed to do that, but he did it to show how he felt in this moment. And he said, have you heard what he said? He has spoken blasphemy. He is a liar, accusing Jesus to be a liar, accusing Jesus, you are not the Son of God, because we do not want you to be the Son of God. So this was the point in history when the people of God, represented by the high priest, condemned Jesus to death because he confessed, I am the Son of God, and I will come in the clouds of heaven. What a picture. Jesus knew they will kill me then. And he was willing to die for you, for your sake. Look at him and trust him, obey him, and love him. Faith and history. The Apostle Paul takes a collection of heroes of the Old Testament in Hebrew chapter 11. And he tells us about Enoch, who lived such a life that he was taken away, no death, taken away when he still lived, to heaven. What a privilege. He talks about Noah. For 120 years, this Noah built the ark. All the people, they were sure it has not rained up to now, and it will never rain. And Noah had heard it will rain. And therefore he built the ark as he was told. Imagine building on something 120 years. Maybe you have built a house and you hadn't enough money, so it took some time, maybe some years. But 120 years? Building something for something which had never happened before, that it will rain? And not just rain. There will be water everywhere. Therefore the ark. What a faith. What a faith. And we hear about Abraham, who was told to leave his home country in Mesopotamia, where later on the Assyrians lived and the Babylonians. He was told, go into a land I will show to you. He was told by God. He had never seen the land before. He could not Google in the internet how is the climate there, how many people live there, to have a chance to survive there. Nothing. He had never been there. He had never seen it before. God said, go, and he went. What a faith. What a faith. And when you think of his wife Sarah, at the age of 90, not 19, 90, there's only the N as difference. At the age of 90, she gave birth to Isaac, which means we love. It's something to laugh about. A 90-year-old woman gives birth to a boy, baby boy. But she trusted in God. And Joseph, being sold as a slave, at the age of 17 by his brothers. By his brothers he was sold. Now this hurts in your soul, doesn't it? When an army comes and takes you, they are stronger. But then when your brothers sell you as a slave, that's hard. But when he goes to Egypt with these Ishmaelites who had bought him, when you go there, when he went there, he remembered the stories of Father Jacob. He told him about this ladder he had seen in Bethel, where the angels went up and down, and he slept there. He had seen it, the father of Joseph, and he remembered the story. He had heard it very often. He remembered all the stories of his father, the stories with God, experiences. And because of all these stories, Joseph made a decision. I will stay loyal to God. Whatever will be, whatever will happen, I will stay loyal to the God of my father Jacob. He is a real God, a living God. What did he experience? How God stayed to him. Let's look at these figures, these heroes of faith. summary. We have heard about David, who saw the giant Goliath in front of him. He was a dwarf in comparison to Goliath. But he knew there's one even taller than Goliath, and even stronger than Goliath. And if he helps me, then I will be the winner. He had a trusting in something he could not see. And this trusting made him the winner. We heard of the Assyrians, how Hezekiah acted when he heard the Assyrians, how they spoke about the God of Judah. No God had ever the chance against the Assyrian army. And your God? Do you think your God will be the only one who can help you? Forget about it. And this was something Hezekiah could not stand. And he showed it to God. Act. Honor your name. And God acted, and the Assyrian army was demolished. We heard about Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, this powerful king of Babylonia, the most powerful king ever there. And Judah was taken into captivity for 70 years. So the God of Judah is a weak God, or? He is a God who sees into the future. And Daniel, trusting in his God, became a representative of the true God. And Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel came close together. They had talks with each other. And through Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar got an idea about the real God, the only one, ruling over heaven and earth. And that all the gods of the Babylonians are nothing. They're only inventions of human minds. But they do not really exist, therefore they cannot help you. They are not in existence. But there is one God who exists and lives forever. You need not be afraid that he will die. He is there. And because of Daniel and his friend's loyalty, Nebuchadnezzar found the way to God and became a follower of Jesus. We will meet him in heaven. Imagine that. And when we think of Jesus there in front of the high priest, who is angry, who is furious, because all the lies, they don't work. So therefore this question, are you the Son of God, yes or no? And Jesus confesses at his baptism, through John the Baptist, the voice from heaven, from the Heavenly Father, confirmed, this is my beloved Son. This was already the testimony of the Most High. And here again, yeah. So if the Jews still think that the Messiah is to come in future and has not come 2,000 years ago, then we have to read this passage. Are you the Son of God? I will come in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest said, that's blasphemy. You are not the Son of God, although he is the Son of God. And Jesus was willing to die as a sacrifice for your sins. Although he is the King of the universe, what humility. This is our Savior. Look at him and trust him and obey him.